Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Patterson. Boy, what a sobering truth. How many heartbeats between now and eternity for each one of us? You know, there's an exact number for every one of us in this room of how many heartbeats from now until eternity. Do you know what happens after your last heartbeat? I hope that you do. If you don't, you're in the right place to find out at Worth Baptist Church. I do want to start by telling you this, though. It's not fair. It is just absolutely not fair. It's not fair. You people at Worth Baptist Church, it's not fair. How in the world do you, in one church, get my favorite young preacher and my favorite mature preacher in the same church? Okay? I really mean this. Now, I have to tell you, my son is right up there with you, okay? He's an evangelist, and he's a good preacher, too. But I tell you, as a young preacher, there's no one in America I'd rather listen to than your pastor. And I will tell you, there is no preacher in the maturity age anywhere near Dr. Raymond Barber that I'd rather hear than that man right there. It's not fair. And guys, it's not fair that you guys should have the best bookends of any church in America, okay? And then it's not fair that you should have one of my favorite missionaries of all time in Mike Patterson. You guys are just more than blessed. I hope you do appreciate what you have. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. Now, what I'm going to share with you this morning, I've never really put into a message before, except for at 8:30. And I'm going to do something. I once in a while do this when I preach. I'm going to mess you all up. I'm going to get you all confused. And then we're going to try to straighten you out, okay? So we're going to start in Genesis 22. And I want you to help me. The early morning group really helped me really well. They were very robust, very loud. And there's a couple times I'm going to need you to kind of say the next word. So make sure you have your copy of the scriptures. If you don't, and if you do have one and someone next to you doesn't, share with your copy. As long as it's 6 feet apart, it'll be fine. And Genesis chapter 22. Now, this is the story of Abraham willing to offer his only son, Isaac, on an altar. He never has to do it. Only one father ever had to do that, and that was God, who offered his son, Jesus Christ, for all of our sins. But God does test Abraham with this. Abraham believes, according to Hebrews 11, that if Abraham would have killed Isaac, that God would have raised him from the dead, because he absolutely believed he was the chosen one to have the seed of the promised Messiah. But we come to verse 12, and I need some help. Abraham has his knife over his son, and he's about to come down with the knife. And the Lord speaks to Abraham, and he says in verse 12, and he, that would be the Lord, said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Okay, so I'm going to start confusing you now, kind of messing with you, all right? How can an omniscient God ever learn anything? An omniscient God already knows everything. How can he now I know? Did it ever occur to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God knows it all. But Brother Scheller, it says right here, now I know. I know. So let's keep reading. All right, here. So get ready. Now I know, as if you didn't know before, God. Now I know that thou fearest God. Now the next word is imperative. There is no question that our omniscient God knew what Abraham would do. All right, our omnipresent God knew that. but everyone together. Now I know that thou fearest God. Everyone together, what's the next word? Seen. Thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Yeah, I know what you were going to do. I'm omniscient. But now I see it. You say, okay, where are you heading, Brother Shetler? Hold your place in Genesis 22 because we're coming back. Let's go over to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And as you're turning to James chapter 2, I have a question for you. And that question is, when did Abraham get saved? When did Abraham, the father of our faith, the father of the Israel nation, when did Abraham get saved? Now, first of all, I want to tell you something. There was a time when Abraham was not saved. And there has to be, in order for you to be born again, in order for you to be saved, there has to be a period of time that you are lost. We do not believe in the universal fatherhood of God. God is not the father of all mankind. He is the creator of all mankind. He created every man in his image. But he is not the father of all mankind. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The only way you can become a child of God is by receiving the Son of God as your Savior. If you're here today, God has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. He has a promise for you. But I don't know that every person in this room is a child of God. I'm God's creation. Oh, you are. And you were created in his image. He wants you to spend eternity with him. But can I share this with you? You're not his child until you receive his son as your personal savior. If you're here today and you've never asked Christ to be your savior, then that's why God has you here. Now, I'm going to be preaching today mainly to believers. But this is a very important. If you're here and you go like, well, you know what? I've always believed I'm God's creation. Good. You are. Well, I've always believed God has a purpose and a plan for me. He does. By the way, he did not create hell for one human being to go to. Matthew 24 very clearly indicates that hell was created for the devil and his demons. No, anyone go to hell. It is of their choice, not God's choosing. God didn't choose anyone to go to hell. He chose everyone to go to heaven. You've got to reject Christ. If you're here today, there is a period of someone's life that they've got to be lost in order to be saved. So it's a legitimate question to ask. When did Abraham get saved? Let's look. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Look over at verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. By the way, for that verse, jump down to verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. What a great comparison 17 and 26 are. In other words, you take the spirit out of a body, you got a carcass. You got a body, but you ain't got no life. Okay, and that was the comparison there. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. All right, now look at verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Now, notice the next word. Hey, everyone together, what's our word from Genesis 22 that I had you say? Everyone together, what was that word? Seen. Good. Good job, Worth Baptist. You're with me. Now, look at this word. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith, which is the title of our message today. Show me your faith. And then it says this, without works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now look at verse 21. Hold on, I'm going to mess with you. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Now, some of you that are Bible scholars, you're struggling right now. Did Abraham get saved when he was willing to offer Isaac on the altar? Is that when Abraham got saved? No, it is not. That is not when Abraham got saved. Well, it just said, hold on. When did Abraham get saved? Hold your place in James 2. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and read it to you. Genesis chapter 15. Listen to this. Genesis 15, speaking of Abraham, it said, and he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it, that would be God, counted it to him for righteousness. Brother Shetler, Abraham gets saved in Genesis 15. Absolutely correct. But it just said, hold on. Now I want you to listen to Romans, and Romans verifies this. Listen to Romans chapter 4 and verse number 2 and 3. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Okay. So, when we get to heaven, let me tell you what's not going to happen. Hey, Abraham, it's good to see you here. How'd you get here? Well, I'll tell you how I got here. I got here because I took my son and I was willing to sacrifice my son. And I've lived a good life. And the reason why it ain't happening. Abraham's getting to heaven the same way we're getting to heaven, by faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. That was proven in Genesis 15. So listen to Romans chapter 4. It says, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scriptures? Genesis 15. For what saith the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Aren't you glad we're not saved by what we do? We're saved by who we believe in. And we're sure thankful for that. And it doesn't matter how many times you get in a baptismal pool or how much money you give in an offering or how hard you try. No. The only way to heaven is by trusting Christ as your Savior. We are justified by faith alone. Okay, but Brother Shetler, it says right in the scriptures here, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Look down to verse 23 of James chapter 2. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Okay, Dr. Shetler, you did it. You accomplished your goal. I am totally confused. Way to go. Okay, you have absolutely proven, and I absolutely believe, that Abraham got saved in Genesis 15. And he got saved by faith alone. Then how in the world does it say that he was saved or justified by works in this verse? And here's how. In Genesis 15, Abraham gets saved. In Genesis 22, we see the faith. We now see the faith. Remember what God said to Abraham? God is omniscient. He absolutely, but now it says, now I know, seeing you were willing to offer your son. Now this is huge. We live in 2020. I am 63 years old, and I've lived all 63 years in the United States of America. Oh, I took mission trips, but I've lived all my life in this country. Never is there a more important time to show our faith in Christ than right now in America. If you are a believer, I don't question it. If you tell me, I've received the Lord, I'm with you on your profession. But here's what James says in James chapter 2. Hey, you can do all your professions you want. Show me your faith. Start living what you say you believe. Show me what you have. Show me your faith. I'm not saying you're not saved. You trusted in Christ. You made a profession of your faith. But now it's time, believers, Worth Baptist, it's time for you to show the faith you say you have. I think there's a lot of points we could have. I have two. I think there's two areas that we as believers in America and we as believers in Fort Worth need to start showing our faith. Number one, in your trials. You need to show your faith in your trials. Now, let's go back and study Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And let's look at this for a moment. It says in Genesis 22 in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. Oh boy. Now let me tell you, there's a lot of things that this is coming after. In Genesis 15, Abraham gets saved. But I'm telling you something, guys. In Genesis 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21, he sure isn't living like a believer. He's lying. He's running around. He's doing all kinds of things. And this is the biggest thing. He's not having any children. And yet he's supposed to have this seed. So he's going to take things into his own hands. Wrong idea, folks. He's going to take things into his own hands. Sarah says, just take my handmaid, Hagar, and have a child from there, and then there you'll have your son, and the seed will follow. It ain't happening. You start doing things in your flesh, God doesn't even approve it. God doesn't even recognize it. When it says, and it came to pass after these things, what are these things? All the things that Abraham did in the flesh and not by faith. Was Abraham saved in Genesis, coming into Genesis 22? Yes. He got saved back in chapter 15. But he showed no faith to anyone that he was trusting in God. Are you with me? And it came to pass after these things, that God did, let's just all say the word, because we always struggle when we come to this word about God. And he did what? Everyone together, he did what? Tempt. Now don't be afraid of that word. The King James translators in 2 Chronicles chapter 9 use that word that might shed some light on this. In 2 Chronicles 9, there is a queen that comes to visit Solomon. She is the queen of Sheba. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 9 that she came to prove Solomon with, and the Bible even says this, hard questions. I'm going to test and tempt Solomon with hard questions. I've heard all this stuff about Solomon, but I wanna see if it's true. And by the way, when she gets done, she says, the half hasn't been told to me. I can see Solomon's got wisdom beyond. And I'm going to prove him to see if it's really true. Do you understand what God's doing here? God doesn't tempt us to do wrong. But God puts us through trials so that he can what? See our faith. God wants to see our faith. And our country's got to see your faith. This church has got to see your faith. See, he's not tempting Abraham to do something evil. God cannot tempt anyone to do evil, James chapter 1 says. But God will test us with hard things so that he and the world can see what we say we believe in. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son. This is so good. Take now thy son, thine. Oh man, we got another problem. Take thou thy son, thine. Everyone together, what's the next word? Only. Is Isaac his only son? Well, I don't know what to say, Brother Settler. I don't know. Yeah, it says it right here in the Bible. Doesn't he have Ishmael? Okay, so then God lies. No. God doesn't accept anything that's not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. God doesn't accept it if it's not by faith. But Shelley, I'm not sure I understand. What Abraham did with Hagar to have Ishmael was all by flesh. It was all him conniving, putting it all together. I'm going to make this happen. We got to get this kid. Something, you know, Sarah's too old now. We got to do all this by ourselves. And I just want you to know, God does not accept any of that. And at the judgment seat of Christ, everything you did in your flesh, whether you want to call it religious or you want to call it for God, none of it counts, friend. The only way to please God is to live by faith. You've got to take your steps of faith. So isn't it interesting that God says, you only have one son? Because the only son you have is the son of faith, and that is Isaac. Wow, what a statement that is. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. So I think there's two ways that we need to show our faith. Number one, in our trials. This was a trial. This was a test. This, wow, did this ever test? Now here's what I think. In trials, there are two things that need to be shown. I think your perspective and your patience. What does the world need to see of our faith through a trial? What does God need to see in our faith in this trial that we're going through? I think there's two things. Number one is perspective. He needs to see your perspective of how you're handling this. God, first of all, my perspective goes to my past. And God, you've never failed. You've always provided. Lord, I know I'm going to make it through this trial because I can look back at my past and I can see what you have done. Now, I want to share this with you. I believe this so strongly. After 42 years of counseling individuals, I believe that the scriptures are clear. There are only two reasons why a believer should ever go to their past. There's only two reasons. Now, the world is so opposite of this. The world wants you to live in your trash of your past. But that is not what God wants. When you go to your past, whatever's happened in your life, there's only two reasons why you should go. Here they are. Are you ready? You go to your past to remember the lessons God's taught you and to remember the love God has shown you. The only two reasons a believer should ever go to their past is to remember the lessons that he's taught and remember the love that he's shown. Everything else is no trespassing. Now, I deal with college students all the time. It is amazing by 21 what kind of past they have. I'm being honest. And they feel like they're paralyzed. I can't live for God because this happened when I was 16. I can't live for God because I had this happen. This happened to me. I did this. Although their past is so sordid. And I said, stop. Don't go to your past. Except for to remember a lesson that God taught you or the love that God showed you. We have a different perspective when we go through a trial. Because we can remember all the ways God has done things in my life. Amen. Then we have a better perspective of the future. We know what's going to happen. Our perspective of the future is so bright. We know. You know, it's funny. I was dealing with a college girl. And she's a dear girl. She's there to be a missionary. But you know, this is why you go to Bible college. You're training your own heart and everything. She had a panic attack about midterm exams, about exams. She had a panic attack. Well, a Christian shouldn't be having a panic. Yeah, tell me about it. I know that. But she's not showing her faith. So I'm talking to the girl. It's like 11 o'clock at night. The dorm supervisor calls me. And Marilee's with me, my wife. And Marilee keeps, you know, it's so hard. I love my wife. And boy, I'll tell you what, she may not preach me from behind a pulpit, but my wife can flat out preach, let me tell you. And so she's over in the other chair. Tell her, ask her, what's the worst thing that could happen? Marilee, hold on. Yeah, okay, and I don't want to say the girl's name. I started asking a few more questions. And Marilee kept, ask her, what's the worst thing that can happen? What's the worst thing that can happen? I said, okay. Okay, so we're talking about, Jim, ask her, what's the worst thing? And I say the girl's name, and I say, okay, so what's the worst thing that could happen? Long pause. What's the worst thing that could, well, I guess I could fail. Okay, and what's the worst thing if you failed the class? Long pause. Well, I guess I'd have to take it again. And what's the worst thing if you had to take it again? I guess that wouldn't be that bad. Bingo. Guys! We're so messed. Our country. This is happening. What's the worst thing that could happen? We go into the tribulation time, and I'm ready to get out of here. How about you? You know, we know the end. Have you ever watched a sporting event on a tape that you already knew what the outcome was? Have you ever done that before? I've done that a few times, and I got to tell you, I've done it a few times that I knew the ending. But the people I was watching with didn't know the ending. And I love that. That's so much fun. Oh, wow, it looks like this team's going. Yeah, they could. I don't know what's going to happen, you know. I saw the ending. I know what's going to happen. By the way, I've done it one time. I never watched the videotape. I never watched it live. But I got the score of the game. So I don't know who's going to get the most points. I don't know who's got penalties. I don't know who's going to do what. I don't know. But I know who's going to win. Can I tell you guys something? I know who's going to win. I got it. I got it. We need to show our faith in the perspective that we have. We need to show our faith that we know what has happened and we know what's going to happen. Because when we show that kind of faith, it pleases him and other people go like, what are you believing in, man? What are you on anyhow? What kind of drink, what kind of energy drink gets you the way that you are at work? Do you understand we're through a pandemic? Ooh, but I know the God who brought us here. And I know that my God always has a purpose. And I know the end of the story. So I got a different perspective than the world around me. Amen? We need to show our faith in that. I'll tell you one other area we need to show our faith in trials is patience. We need to show our faith with patience. That we steadfastly endure. James chapter 1 says this. We're in James. James chapter 1. You all are familiar with it. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Hey, by the way, Dr. Barber, I looked up the Greek for that word divers. You know what it means? The Greek word? COVID. It's COVID. Yeah. Well, it's COVID for me anyhow. Diverse temptation. By the way, think about diverse means many or different. Think about all the different trials we've got. I mean, just everything with it. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into COVID-19. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing, the proving of your faith worketh, produces everyone together, produces what? Patience. Oh, this is a great word. The word patience is a compound Greek word. The one word means under, the other word is remain. So the word patience means to remain under. It could be of a weightlifter that picks up weights and he's got the weight, he hasn't jerked it all the way up yet. He's under the weight. He's holding the weight. He's holding the weight. He hasn't let go yet. He's remaining under. But the number one way that this word was used in the Greek language, this was the word that was used for a marathon runner. The marathon runner would run 26 miles, 385 yards, and he would run. And he'd be patient. He didn't want the sprinter. And he'd run 26 miles, 385 yards. And usually around mile 20, laxid acid would begin to form in the runner's legs. And literally, like needles going into the skin, that laxid acid would begin to cause all kinds of pain. But the runner would remain under. He would run with patience. He would run, here's the phrase, steadfastly enduring. Dr. Shetler, what is COVID-19 supposed to do in a believer's life? It is supposed to build patience. It is supposed to build steadfast endurance. It is supposed to build some strength so we can show the world when everyone's quitting, the Christian's still going. We've got this steadfast endurance because we know God's got a plan and what he's doing. Show me your faith, Worth Baptist Church, and show it to me in your trials. And number two, show it to me in your treasures. Now we jump back to Genesis chapter 22. And in Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son. I just love this. Thine only son, Isaac, whom thou, I think this is my last time, Worth Baptist, help me out, whom thou lovest. Do you know that is the first time love is mentioned in the Bible? I'm not saying it's the first time love was shown, but the first time the word love is mentioned in the Bible has to do right here. Whom thou lovest. Now, first of all, I find that interesting because I love your pastor. I'm telling you. He got up after I got preaching. Yeah, the first service, and he said something. I went like, okay, I'm putting that in my message. That was really good. His ending was better than my message, I'm telling you. So if I get done here, he could come up and finish this thing. But he said something that I got to tell you, folks, it really spoke to my heart. Who else loved a son that was willing to give him up? And that was God the Father, loved his own son, but gave his son up. Whom thou lovest. Abraham, what is the most valuable thing in your life? Isaac, give him to me. Give him to me. How do you show your faith, Dr. Shetler? He got saved in Genesis 15. So what's this James 2 thing that he was justified by works? This is where he shows it. And I'll tell you when you show your faith. When you take that relationship, when you take that hobby, when you take that possession, when you take that family that you love so much, and you say, God, it's yours. Hands off, God. I surrender. Surrender is an act of stewardship because God already owns it. Sacrifice is an act of worship because God deserves it. My God is worthy to take the thing that I love the most and put it on the altar. Yeah, I gotta tell you, I love Marilee. And I love Ben, Luke, and Drew and their spouses and the couple grandchildren that I have. But I got to tell you something. God says, give me your kids. Yeah, but I love my boys. Tell you something else I love. It's one of the reasons why I love you guys. I love my calling to preach. I do. And if God said, Jim, would you be willing to give up your calling to preach? Do you love your calling to preach more than you love me? You know, you can love ministry more than you can love Christ. Hey, I want to tell you, what do you love more than anything else? Is it the person sitting next to you? Is it a hobby, a job, a car, a truck? What is it that you love the most? Your own good health? Are you willing to say, God, it's yours? I think we show our faith when we surrender and sacrifice our treasures. Now, this is a little rabbit trail, but it is so good. Look at what he says here. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah. Moriah is a mountain range which encircles Jerusalem. And get thee into the land of Moriah, the mountain range of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Oh, now I got to tell you, this is a big point I give to college students all the time. See, college students, they want to know everything. Okay, God, I'll surrender my life and kind of tell me who I'm going to marry. I need to know where I'm going to serve. I need to know. No. You just need to go to Moriah. And then when you get to Moriah, God will show you the mountain you're supposed to go on. Isn't that great? Abraham, take your son, thine only son that thou lovest, and go to Moriah. But then what do you want? I'll show you then. Yeah, but I got to know right now. One step at a time, folks. God's will is one step at a time. Get to Moriah, and then I'll show you which mountain you need to go. By the way, you better make sure you go up the mountain I show you, because the other mountain isn't going to have a ram in the thicket, okay? You better not go up on the wrong mountain. But first of all, just get to where you're supposed to be. And if you get to where you're supposed to be, Worth Baptist, God will show you the next step to take. I try to tell college students, just trust. I don't know. I don't want to go to Bible college because I don't know what I'm going to, I don't know what God has for me. Go to Bible college and find out. Go to Moriah and he'll show you what mountain to serve on. And I will tell you so, we laugh at college students, some of you adults, some of you senior saints. You don't move until you can see everything. You need to just trust God and move. In your trials, in your treasures. Show me your faith. Worth Baptist, thank you for the privilege to be at your church today. And I do not take that lightly. I talked to Pastor 3 times yesterday about what he'd been preaching on, whatever. And I struggle. I didn't know. I knew what I was given yesterday to the teenagers. I knew what I was given this morning to the teenagers. I knew what I was given to the teachers and workers. But I didn't know for sure what I was given this morning. And I've really never preached this before. But the truth has gripped my heart. I don't know when you got saved. Might have been a year ago. Might have been 10 years ago. It might have been 40, 50 years ago you got saved. I'm not questioning your salvation. I am not. But I'll tell you what time it is. It's time for you to show your faith. It's time that we see what you say you believed. And I'm going to tell you, this is the greatest time in the world to live. Because people are searching for something that's real. They are so searching for what you have, Worth Baptist. You got to show them your faith in trials and in treasures. There probably could be five other points to this message, but let's just start with our trials and our treasures. Because I got to tell you, when the world sees that you sacrifice and surrender that which you love the most, they're going like, hey, why are you doing this? Why are you giving up a good job to do this? Why do you give so much money to that church? Why do you spend all of your time serving other people? What's wrong with you? You're showing your faith, and they want to know. And then, if there was ever a time for us to show our faith during trials, it's now. Let them see your perspective. Boy, you look at this COVID thing completely different than the way that I look at it. I know. Let me tell you why and who I know. And then build patience. Wow, you Christians, you guys are just steadfast. They can't stop you. It must be essential what you guys are doing. Show your faith. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. First question I have is this. How many of you can say without a doubt that there was a time, there was a day, you may not remember the date, you may not remember what you prayed, but there is no question you have made a profession of your faith in Jesus Christ alone, and you're a child of God. You have been saved by faith alone, not by what you did, not by where you went to church, not by what you gave. You got saved by trusting in Christ. You may not remember the date or the what you said, but you know, Brother Scheller, I know that I'm a child of God. That is so great. If you have that testimony, could you raise your hand all over the auditorium? Could I see that for just a moment? I just look for, what a great testimony. Praise the Lord for your, thank you. Praise the Lord for your profession. You just did that by raising your hand. You just gave a profession. I have trusted the Lord. Okay. So now, every head up, every eye open. As far as I could tell, it was more than the vast majority. I don't know if I didn't see it. I thought maybe every hand went up. It may not be true. But it looked to me like every hand went up. So I got a question for you now. I understand with what I'm about to tell you to do, this isn't like, oh yeah, I'm really showing my faith. But I do believe it's a commitment and a beginning. How many of you at Worth Baptist today would be honest before God and would say, you know what, Jim? I have not been showing my faith in these trials. And I think there's some treasures that I think God wants. And today, I know I have faith, Genesis 15, but I'm ready to show my faith, Genesis 22. And I'm ready to leave on the altar that which I love, and I'm ready to get a perspective and some patience that has not been being seen in my life. And I stand today in front of everybody to say, I want to start showing my faith. I know I've got it, Brother Scheller. I know I'm saved, Genesis 15. But it's time. I've had a terrible attitude. I got things I'm holding on to. It's time for me to show my faith. And by God's grace and for God's glory, I don't care who knows. Matter of fact, I want everyone to know. I want you to pray for me because I'm tired of having faith and not showing my faith. And I don't care if you're in your 70s or 80s or you're 17 or 18. If you desire to show your faith, could you stand to your feet right now? That's your desire. I want to show my faith. I want this world to see the faith I say that I have. I want the world to know, and I want God to know. God, I do believe in you, and I want to show you how you can know I believe in you. Oh, Father, I pray for every child of God that's standing right now. And I pray, Father, that they will not just be hearers, but they will be doers of the faith they say that they have.
God, may they not go to their past except for to remember who you are, what you've done. Oh, Lord, keep them patient, steadfastly enduring. Give us a perspective that no one in the world has, because we have you and our faith proves it. Father, this week we're going to need your grace to show the faith we say that we have. I pray for everyone that's standing. And then, Lord, I don't know how Pastor will close, but if there's somebody here that may be your creation but not your child, may this morning they trust you as their Savior, and they will not leave here until they put their faith in Christ. God, work in their life. Thank you for a dear church that's led by some of your choice servants. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you would continue to bless this church. And when I say that, Father, my prayer is, may Worth Baptist show the world and Fort Worth, Texas, their faith.